I'm well aware of the time, but I'm going to be here till Monday, so I'm not really worried about it. And I'm just kidding. I don't have a 5-hour drive to Brewer, Maine in a bus. It'll be 16 hours because you're going to break down. The Lord just this just in from heaven. And that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? And anyway, I'm conscious of the time, and I want you to be aware of that. And I want you to listen on purpose in a hurry. Genesis chapter 6, I was deliberating and which way to go. And really the last few seconds, I shifted gears. I want to talk to you about your destiny, your future, your fate. I was going to start in 2 Timothy and preach a whole different message. I referenced it very quickly in passing about in the last days, perilous times shall come. And it's pretty amazing that it's neon. No man, we know that no one knows the time of the hour. We know no one can know. But I want to give you 88 reasons why the Lord's coming in 1988. I'm just kidding. And but you know, it's neon. I mean, technology, the sum total knowledge of man doubles every 5 years now. If you went to Best Buy and got the most up-to-date gadget, gizmo, bell, toy, whistle, and mentioned iPods and iPads and from Apple, and again, I'm not as dumb with those things as I claim, but it's going to be outdated. You buy the brand newest thing this Christmas season, it'll be on the Antique Roadshow by this time next year. And it's just amazing how things become obsolete and how they pick up speed and how quickly. And so it just improves to, you know, 5,900 years. We're about 6,000 years into human history. For 5,900 of those years, not a whole lot changed. You go back just over 100 years ago, and they're still riding horses and buggy. And now in the last 100 years, if I told you the space shuttle went up, and unless there's some problem with the space shuttle, it doesn't even hardly register outside of local news in Florida and Cape Canaveral area. And it's just people in space, even as they speak, satellites, you know, the wire, the internet, text the person next to you, goes, it's just unbelievable. Science fiction, sci-fi movies, and I'm not suggesting them, but they belong to antiquity. They're outdated quickly. And so, pretty amazing. And so this neon, the mark of the beast, and the computer chips that can't be seen with the naked eye, and next to a dust mite photograph, and so on and so forth. I mean, the technology is already in place. It's a matter of time. So I saw it say this, if you're not married, you never will be. Just kidding. Supposed to be excited. College students, supposed to be, you ought to be excited about the imminent return of Christ. I want him to come back, but, and stipulations and clauses, Lord, please tarry, please tarry. And then you get married, and it's even so, Lord, come quickly. And Brother Ness, what are you laughing at? His wife just said. But I'm not going to go that way, and I wasn't going to preach a message on prophecy or eschatology or last things, but your future. I want to talk to you about your marriage, and I'll be brief, and I can preach fast for sure, but Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 1, Genesis chapter 6, and by the way, great people, and I'm not trying to flatter you when I say this, but again, I think we've got some great young, only time will tell, only eternity will ultimately reveal greatness, and that can be determined very loosely, especially by the world, but it's not measured statistically so often, and certainly not measured at Indianapolis, a combine where the NFL stars, they can't measure the heart. How many times we've seen guys, Wes Welker was not drafted. That shows you Tom Brady was the 199th pick in the NFL draft. And so it's an inexact science. The intangibles, it cannot be measured. And some of you have it, and you're not a head turner, and you're not predicted or prophesied to be great in a certain area. But a person who's great does seem to have an uncanny sense of their future. I can't tell you what it is. I'm not being egomaniacal, but I feel like God has big things for me, and He does. And if you'll let Him. But your destiny, your destination in life, not just geographically, where you're going to live, monetarily, am I going to have a lucrative income? Professionally, what am I going to do to make a living? And then socially, what's my husband and wife going to look like? What are my kids going to look like? What car am I going to drive and all that stuff? And I'm not necessarily talking about that, although those things will take care of themselves. Genesis 6, verse 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth that daughters were born unto them. that the sons of God, so the daughters of men, they took them, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. Now, I won't get into the who the sons of God, the daughters of men are, and there's much conjecture, and whether it's descendants of Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord in Genesis 4:26, so sons of God, Christians, John 1:12, and marrying the daughters of Cain, saved and unsaved people marrying, or this hybrid race of part human, part angel. That's not here or there. It doesn't really matter at this particular time who it was, and hermeneutically, it's a long story. But look at the last two words of Genesis 6:2. They chose. It doesn't matter who they are. That's not really relevant right now. But we know the sons of God had no business marrying the daughters of men. And they decided they want to. They chose. And wrong marriages, well, you don't have to read but three or four verses. Look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and agreed to men his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And Noah found grace in his sight, and Noah and his family, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives, eight people would be preserved. By the way, Noah saved his family. Didn't have a whole lot of converts, 120 years, one century, one score of soul winning. What does that show for it? Nobody. He was the savior of a home, it says in Hebrews chapter 11. By saving his home, he saved the whole world. And so don't bypass your home. And lost loved ones we talked about, and make sure you take care of them. And so, but they chose. And this statement doesn't originate with me. First time I saw it was years ago up in Gaylord, Michigan, and at a truck stop on like a little successory type thing. But destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. You're not here today by chance. You're here by choice. Well, my mom made me come. Most of you can outrun your mom. But you decided to obey and submit. And because you're pretty wise and want a warm place to sleep, and you know the weather's going to turn. But you know, it's a matter of choice where you end up in life. And again, I'm not minimizing the sovereignty of God. I believe in the providence of God. But we know, biblically, God gave us a will, a free moral agency. Where you end up pretty much is going to be where you decide to end up. You know, I know the man who made this, Brother Allen, made this pulpit, and he lives in Indiana. But it's not by accident I'm behind this pulpit tonight, this afternoon. It's not by accident I was behind a pulpit at Reformers Unanimous in Hammond, Indiana last night, and the First Baptist pulpit, and the chapel pulpit at Hiles Edison this week, and on and on. It's not by serendipity or dumb luck or some fortuitous bounce, and some of you are leaving your life to chance. How's everything going to turn out? Good, I hope. No, good, I decide. People don't end up in jail by chance. They end up in jail by choice. That's why you shouldn't drink alcohol or any intoxicating device, because it alters your ability. It influences your decision-making process. Things you normally would not do, you will do under the influence of alcohol. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. And why? The Holy Spirit will make you do things you normally wouldn't do, like sing in front of God and everybody, walk up to a total stranger, walk up to a friend, walk up to a cousin, a loved one, and say, man, listen, can I tell you how you know for sure that when you're visibly shaking like I was as a paratrooper, outranking the man I was talking to, he could have stood at parade rest. I could have made him do that. And man, I had no idea what I said. He got saved. Really? And I was shaking visibly and stammering and stuttering, and it's a supernatural thing to win someone to Christ. But that's the Holy Spirit. That's inexplicable. And some of you need him desperately. All of us need him desperately. But that's a choice. But people, AIDS, and I'm trying to be funny when I say this, but AIDS is a monkey disease. Don't want it? Don't monkey around. And stay pure, and stay clean, and stay holy, and stay chaste, and marry God's will for your life, and don't mess around. It kind of takes care of all the trepidation and the wringing of the hands and the chewing the fingernails about, well, I hope I don't. What if? No hypotheticals. Just stay right and do right. And they chose. Where you end up in life is where pretty much you decide to end up in life. And get God involved in your decision-making process. You never graduate from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In all thy ways, trust the Lord. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, and he shall direct thy. God will do a better job with your life than you ever could think about doing. That's just common sense. We talked about it. God knows what he's doing. He's not constrained by the tyranny of time. God, we know not even what to pray for. God, I need $100. Actually, he needs $250 because he's fixing to lose his transmission. And, you know, we don't even know. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. God does. And so we need to realize that. And, you know, I'm asking rhetorically, but do you think God could do a better job of your life than you could? Well, I think we'd all say yes, but we won't believe that was Moses' action and your destiny. And don't settle for a jalopy of a life when God has a Lamborghini or a Mercedes or a BMW, or whatever the car you covet and crave and want to collect. But that's they chose. The result of their choice would be the flood. Wrong marriages. Your decisions not only affect your destiny, but the destiny of others will be directly and indirectly affected by what you decide to do. And people, and they're going to be reached. In some cases, never would have been unless the man of God says, you know what, I will go. I'll go to Vermont. I'll go to Rhode Island and Brother Chapman. And I suggested it, but he was reluctant at first, but he got on his face for God, and it was God's will, and praise the Lord it was. And go right down the line, whether it's Brewer, Maine, or Conway, and New Hampshire, or whatever the case may be, and Turner, Maine, and Standish, Maine. I shouldn't start naming names. Walla Walla, Washington. Nobody's there. I've been there. And had about 8 people in the service, and that includes my tour group. And the pastor was there. He was single. We said, you need to go to college and get married again. And he did, and he's doing a great job somewhere else. And so maybe God's calling you to Walla Walla. Maybe that's why we're all here. It just rolls off the tongue, Walla Walla, Washington. Maybe your name is Wayne Walters. That's a no-brainer. But all kidding aside, destiny is not a matter of chance, a matter of choice, but even more importantly, the destiny of others. When I was in the Army, and I don't know if I ever told you that. I get it in every sermon. But I was in the military. I tell you I was in the military? I was in the military. I don't like to talk about it. All right, I'll talk about it. I had the burgundy beret or maroon, and I say so often, too many guys doing too many colors, that's fuchsia. What a pretty fuchsia. Or that's fuchsia, too. But guys, look, that's blue. They know. This is actually a little pinch of twilight blue and powder blue mixed in, a little pinch of Carolina. This is actually, and let's see. Oh, this is, don't tell me, that is Southwestern Native American turquoise with just a little pinch of Mediterranean aqua teal. And now if you're a guy and you can say all those things, that's, if you know the difference between white, off-white, cream, eggshell, too many guys know too many colors. But I had the burgundy beret or the maroon beret, and the things you covet, man, I got to get me one of them. And I remember going to the Army Navy surplus store at Fort Benning, Georgia, and we bought it. It had no crest or flash on there. You shave it, you wet it, put it on your head, mold it to your head, and waiting until I got to division at Fort Bragg and to put the rest of the stuff on there. But you risk your life literally for something that comes from Gay Perry, Methy Baku, Chantelizet, that makes you look tough. Didn't make him look tough. But the things we got to have. But I remember the day, I remember looking at Army Magazine, and it said, we need desperately 31 victors. That was me, my military skill, operating, tactical communications operator mechanic, and for the Ranger Battalion. And that's part of my agenda, part of my plan. And so I said, man, I take off the burgundy beret, and now they at that time they wore black berets. Now all of Army wears black berets, and the Rangers wear the tan or the beige or the nutmeg. Just kidding. And I said, man, I want to be an airborne Ranger, and I want to live the life of danger. I want to sleep up in a tree. I want to march with the cavalry. I want to bite the head off a snake. C-130 rolling on a strip, airborne death, all that stuff, bravado. And man, I'm macho. I'm bad, man. Don't mess with me. I'll kill you. And all that stuff. And I said, boy, I would have left Fort Bragg, North Carolina, went to Fort Benning, Georgia, back to Fort Benning, or Savannah, Georgia, or Fort Lewis, Washington, and nothing wrong with being a U.S. Army Ranger, very courageous occupation. Praise the Lord for our patriots, our men and women in uniform, no doubt about it. Don't forget about them. But for me, God has an individual will for everybody, and God used the military to get me in His will, where I prayed that prayer, help, and I became aware. And I was unconscious, now I'm conscious of the will of God. And so I got counsel reluctantly, and I almost signed my name. And nothing wrong with it in and by itself, but I didn't know I was 2 weeks away from dating my wife-to-be. I didn't know that my unborn children, I had two sons, their names are Heather and Tiffany. Heather, I liked it. If I had twin boys, it's hypothetical, but if I did, I would name them Seth and Heath. But God, Heath became Heather, and Seth became Tiffany. Long story. But imagine that. That's tough to say. What's your name? Seth, Death.
I'm like, he's there. We're going to be preachers. And it's almost, it doesn't roll off the tongue like Wayne Walters from Walla Walla, Washington. And, but anyway, but I didn't know. It's kind of romantic to consider your options. Yeah, I might be a pilot. I might work at McDonald's. I might, you know, and all your options. And because you're so competent and qualified. And I'm not against that stuff. As long as you come full circle, get God involved in that process. And get parents involved and get pastors involved and youth pastors involved and without counsel, purposes are disappointed, no doubt about it. And but your destiny, your destination hangs in the balance. Your life hangs in the balance, but not just your life, your marriage, your children, again, the unborn babies, the unborn again Christians to be that can be saved and will be saved if you show up to that divine appointment that God has you scheduled for. We have got, it is imperative, it is vital, it is critical, it is crucial, it's bigger than any one of us could make it or every one of us could make it to get God involved in our decision making. You ought to run a little bit scared. God, I don't want to mess my life up. Man, I do not want to be a piece of puke and I don't want to end up one of those stats and illustrations and God help. What a wise prayer. And again, God is a very present help in trouble. He has availed himself to us. He wants to help you. Won't you let him? It's just, again, it's common sense. And boy, my destiny and hangs in the balance. And what am I going to do with my life? And by the way, there's liberty in the will of God. Hey, Adam, thou mayest freely eat of all the trees of the garden, except for one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Human nature was the one I wanted. You know, that's us. That's the rebellion in our heart. But instead of looking at what you shouldn't have and can't have, and look at what you can have. And sometimes we outthink ourselves, but your destiny, they chose. Well, it's my life. Their life affected everybody. I could go back with Abraham went down to Egypt, and from that came Hagar, and from that came Ishmael, from that came Islam. He was a wild man, no man can tame him. The Middle Eastern crisis, Noah got drunk, you got the Canaanites, they weren't totally annihilated by Joshua, and all the best men in the Bible had a little lapses of courage or common sense and made little mistakes, and we have a Middle Eastern crisis, and we're familiar with terms like 9/11, all that. Listen, good men made poor decisions, and centuries later, we still feel adversely the effects of it. Your life will ripple for good, and God, or it will ripple in a negative sense for generations on a much smaller scale, perhaps. And it's not fair that you just do what you want to do, wear what you want to wear, smoke what you want to smoke, drink what you want to drink. If my life, go where I want to go. It's not your life. You've been purchased by the blood of the sinless Son of God. So that's quite a price. And by gratitude, we ought to say, you know what? I choose by an act of my will. Is this what I do? And I'm done. And this is a prayer I prayed. I was dating before I dated my wife, Brenda. I was dating another young lady, and she was an attractive young lady, and she was saved, and biblically there's nothing wrong with dating her, but we both had enough prudence, and I led in the relationship, and I did it individually, and we did it as a couple, and I said, boy, I like you, you like me, I love you, you love me, and we, you know, all that stuff, and it was reciprocal, but what if we're not God's will for each other? We clinically talked about it. And I remember coming down to an altar and saying, God, you ought to be praying for your husbands and wives right now. Keep them pure. God, protect them. You don't know who they are. You may think you don't know. You may be right. You may not be right. But either way, pray for them. And God, help me and help me help them, whoever they may be. But boy, I said, God, if she's not your will, and I hope she is. But if she's not, and I hope she is. But Lord, if she's not your best for my life, and I hope she is. And I was so apprehensive about praying. And it's like, God, because God will, again, we have the ability to do what we want to do, which usually proves to be catastrophic. God, if she's not your will, and I hope she is. But if she's not, God, intervene and take her away. Within 48 hours, she was hit by a tractor trailer. Just kidding. And I was driving. And I had to drive over three people's lawns. But listen, we broke up. And by the way, no girl has ever broken up with me. The one tried. It was this one in particular. And it was God intervening. You know, they start, it's not you, it's me. I know, it's you. But she said, well, maybe, she's about to say, maybe we should start dating other people. You know, we're going down that road. We don't go down that road. Maybe we should start, hey, I want to break up. You can't fire me, I quit. And streaks to, unless my wife leaves me, and she will not, And unless death does a part, and boy, that might happen if she tries to leave me. And I'm kidding. And but you know what? But boy, it ripped my heart out. It was the most depressing time of my life. Everybody went up to college, and I got stuck in the military because I got there later than the rest of them. And it was a lonely time, but God was intervening. And praise God, he did. I was telling Brother Joe on the way here, we were talking about Brother Briggs, Brother Lane Briggs, pastors in Fall River, and son by the same name. And of course, he helped fill this pulpit, I understand, for a while. And but Rachel Briggs, I remember the day she came into my office and just beside herself and needing some consolation. I said, Rachel, I know you know this, but you're going to look back, and I really feel like this is God intruding, interrupting your life. It's no consolation, I know, but I think God's intervening. She has a husband now. They're on our Ghana team in West Africa, and this guy, I mean, by all physical stature and dimensions, he's 6'4", a bit like a professional football player, overdosed on Flintstone vitamins, and he's a great guy, and far exceeds the guy she had. And by the way, and I shouldn't have named the name, but it's a horror story if God did not intervene. I mean, it's worse than I could ever begin to make it. Unbelievable. And praise God, praise God, praise God, she does, that God intervened. Give God the green light while you're spiritually sane. You come to a conference or a rally like this, and you're thinking straight for a few minutes, say, God, I have a little parentheses of sanity and prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. I know I have a propensity and inclination. I'm going to be right back to where I am in some cases. While you're thinking straight, say, God, don't let me wander. Let me not wander, David said. Do what you got to make me lie down in green pastures. Do whatever you got to do. God, I'm giving you the green light. I'm using my will. I'm deciding to get you involved. Incorporate yourself, intervene, intrude, interrupt. Put me on Balaam's donkey. Despite my best efforts, don't let me mess up my life. Please, God. And God says, okay, okay. Boy, that'd be a wise prayer. Some of you to pray while you're thinking straight. We're all Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. We're all, I ever talked about it, spiritual schizos. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry. God, what am I thinking? We're all there. God, I'll never do it again. Yes, you will. I know. That's we're there. God, you try to pull the wool over an omniscient God's like, God, I will never read my lips. Don't read my, I'm sorry. And that's how we are. That's why when I praise God, when I confess my sins and tell him how awful I am, I quickly transition how awesome he is. God, why you don't kill me? Your mercy is incredible. Your grace really is amazing. It's phenomenal. And my limited vocabulary didn't allow me to express adequately how incredible you are. God, you're awesome. And I don't mean that in the modern vernacular. That's a wonderful thing to hear from his children and young people in particular. But listen, I'm asking you to pray a prayer this afternoon before we leave. Say, God, I don't know what you have for me. In some cases, you may. In some cases, you know, God's been talking to you. Again, I surrendered to preach. I was reluctant. God was messing my life up, and praise God, he did. And I do just that. But God, I'm giving you the green light. They chose. What an awful choice. It affected everybody. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. Why he did it is another story. But one man made a decision 6 millenniums ago, and the reason we have hospitals and nursing homes and cemeteries and crematoriums and antibiotics and allergy medicine and anything you can think of that's negative. Cars are rusting and rotting and denting and depreciating, even as I speak. Anything negative you think of. The reason why there's carnivores and predators and fangs and blood and malaria, all because of one man made one decision. It's my life. It's your life. Adversely affects others. Let's get God involved. Say, God, please, 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 don't let me mess up my life and the life of others. Lord, I sing the song, but I mean it this time. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. May this be a motto and a creed. And Lord, I'm making a decision to get you involved in my decisions. Veto, please, and override my fallen will. And God, please, what a prayer. At times you'll regret it, but ultimately you'll praise God you made that prayer. Destiny is not a matter of chance. Where you end up in life? Well, I hope everything turns. No, I decide. I decide to get God Almighty involved. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. The eternal destination of every person that draws a breath is determined by what they decide to do with Jesus.
as few people this morning decide to say yes to Christ. I'm not going to try to elicit any kind of invitation along this way, but if you're still here and you're not sure you're going to heaven, please don't leave Faith Baptist Church, Carver, Mass., without knowing absolutely sure you're going to go to heaven. Decide to choose. Decide to say yes to Christ. What will you do? If you don't say yes, you just said no. By not accepting, you were just rejected. We'll say, Brother Taft, and I'm going to turn the invitation over very quickly to Brother Weeks, and he can dismiss, or whatever he wants to do is fine. It's totally his discretion. But you say, Brother Taft, boy, just the fellowship, the activities, just being here with young people my age and of like faith and emphasis. God spoke to my heart today. I need him. To say I need him is just an incredible understatement. I'm asking God, I'm giving him the green light to override my will, my free moral agency, my volition. God, please. I want to be good. I want to be great. I want God to help me do that. I want to have a great family. I want to have a great marriage. And first things first there, of course, but God, help me. Give me the wife that you want for me. Give me the husband you want for me. Give me the children you want for me. Give me the job you want for me. Give me the geography you want for me. God, not my will, but thine. That's a great prayer. That's wisdom and maturity beyond your years. Who say, Brother Taft, God spoke to my heart. I want to pray that prayer today. God spoke to my heart. God spoke to my heart. If you're not getting God involved, you're saying, God, no, I can't commit. You may put your hands down. God, I don't know if I trust you. Is God trustworthy? Women of old who trusted in God. Some of you need to work on your heavenly relationship, then your human relationships will improve dramatically. If you can't trust God, what chance does any man have? Ultimately, that's all we have. People change. People let us down. Don't get disillusioned with people. Don't get illusioned with people. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's the only absolute we have in a mercurial, volatile, unpredictable, unraveling world. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. You can trust him. You need to. Holy Spirit, please. I know in some cases the preaching has been over the head and overwhelming. In some cases, there's the opposite end of the spectrum. Maybe there's a callous there. I don't know. And I'm not asking to be indulged, but Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray for sleep deprivation. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll penetrate the armored heart, soften the stiff neck, the polluted mind, the distracted young person, whatever it takes, Lord, continue to speak to hearts. May seeds be sown today. And who cares who reaps the harvest and gets the credit? We're not looking for that, Lord. You know our heart. We're not looking for that. We want heartache and heartbreak and a divorce and disease to be avoided and averted because of a rally like this. God, please, and intervene in these lives. Even if they don't pray the prayer, Lord, I pray that you'll intervene and protect them from themselves in some cases. Put a hedge about them. God, give them a life that will exceed their wildest expectations. Again, we'll give you the glory for it all. Heads are still bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Weeks comes, your destiny. It's not going to be, well, I hope so. It's not going to be a matter of chance. Don't leave your life to chance, to choice. Choose Christ.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. If you're here today, maybe you didn't come forward before, you did raise your hand, but you know the Holy Spirit's, he's been poking at your heart. I'm going to urge you at this time to come forward. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. I'm going to urge you again. You come forward, you shake my hand, say, Preacher, I want someone to show me from the precious Word of God how to be saved. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you need to move today, won't you move as the pianist plays? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. It has been said that decisions determine your destiny. You make right choices and right decisions, teenager, you're gonna do some great things for God. But if you make some bad choices, it will be a life of regret. That is a biblical principle. If you need to move, the altar's open. We're going to take all the time that we need to. This is a very, very important part of the day right here.